And I ask you, what is a scapegoat?
What is a scapegoat?
It goes to Azazel.
The scapegoat is when they push the goat off the cliff.
The Kohen Gadol had to prepare and then make the goat threw him off the cliff.
They pushed the goat off the cliff, and the other one got lucky. He stayed alive, or he got eaten. Now the one that got pushed off the cliff was a scapegoat.
In the international expression scapegoat, what did it refer to?
It basically means when you use someone else to detract from what you've done. They're the fool guy, the guy that basically takes the rap for you. The scapegoat.
The name of the game is whom to blame.
The name of the game is round up the usual.
And stuff. What do? We don't blame ourselves, we blame others. That's the concept of the scapegoat. So, our question is, how can you understand, quite all of you understood, the origin of the term scapegoat? Like, I would say thousands of ideas and expressions which are found in the cultural heritage of all human beings come from the Bible. You don't always realize that. Of course, you realize it right away. It's from the Yom Kippur service. It took place at the time of Beit HaMikdash. So the sins of the people were put on one of the goats. According to many explanations, like Joseph Rav Hirsch, book based upon Menri Hashem, the whole concept of the scapegoat, of the Sa'ir, what's it called in Hebrew?
Goat.
What's the concept called in Hebrew?
Sa'ir, the goat.
But which is the scapegoat?
The goat that goes to the house.
It's the Sa'ir la'azazel. The goat, I mean, he's saying, modern expression, he's saying, la'azazel. What's that mean?
The goat to hell.
Yes. The slang expression, go to hell, in Hebrew is Lech Lazazel. It's taken from the high point of the divine service to the Beit HaMikdash.
And what you say in?
So Rav Hirsch explained, read it yourself in detail, it's a bit easier, but it's got its roots in many ancient explanations and commentaries, that really is the exact reverse. But what do we have to do on Yom Kippur? Put the blame on others? What's the concept of Yom Kippur? What's the meaning of Yom Kippur? The Day of Atonement. How do we get atonement?
One goes on to the altar and one goes to the harvest.
Confession, to recognize that we've sinned. And Hashem in His mercy gives us if we do enough to show us. So that's the basic concept of Yom Kippur. And it's demonstrated through the concept, as Rav Hirsch takes it, and it's well worthwhile if anyone to study that, because it's a deep moral lesson, is that we've all been given strength of character. And Chazal say, it's the word Eis, it goes as like stubborn and strong, power of resistance. So, all our azot, all our strength of character should be dedicated to Hashem. But unfortunately, we also have within us the tendency to use our character and our stubbornness to increase our selfishness and to pursue aggrandizement of our own selves and to give ourselves over to the opposite, to materialistic aims instead of spiritual aims. And that's the choice that is put in front of Am Yisrael. Chazal say Am Yisrael is Al Sheb Umot. Even let's say such a ignorant person of anything to do with Jews, as Sigmund Freud, what did he say? He said the Jews are like others except more so. That more so, that stronger aspect, Chazal say it's the also referred to by in the Chumash or Am Kashe Orat. We're stubborn people and obstinate people. We have a certain character of the importance of ourselves. So on Yom Kippur, we have to dedicate that spirit of Azot to Hashem and recognize that if you've got a choice, you can either dedicate to Hashem, in which case you reach the highest level or closest to Hashem and purification, and if not, then you're likely to end up in a destructive desert with nothing. So this is a concept to show the constant aspect of balance that exists in front of every person and in front of the whole nation of Israel to choose. We've got to choose between life and death, between dedication to Hashem or dedication to material powers. And as far as the development of the nation and even the individual is concerned, we constantly have the choice. And if we choose for the good, we admit that we have not gone the right way, we've all got to improve and face the challenges of life, this choice lies before us. That is, I would say that's one of the explanations which you can follow through quite easily. But now I'm going to give you, and it's got to do with the next paragraph here in Rabbeinu's teaching, where he develops what seems to be the deeper aspect of the Yom Kippur service, which you just described, and which, if one takes it in conjunction with the totality of a concept of Sa'ir, of the hairy goat, it goes all the way through the Tanakh, and it's used specifically in reference to whom?
Yaakov. Esav.
Esav. Esav is Sa'ir. So we'll go into this more deeply. So the deeper interpretation, which is based upon many midrashim, saying to the sages and the Zohar, is that the Yom Kippur service, and Yom Kippur is really the highest point of the festival of the year, and the day whereby we receive the second Luchot as the fulfillment of true Teshuvah, and even until today, Yom Kippur has enormous power over the people of Israel, especially here in the land of Israel. We can say all that's happening in recent times in connection with the return of Am Yisrael to Eretz Israel, it's filled with signs, if you follow the words of the prophet, the words of the Tanakh, which show we're in an amazing period today. Not that we don't have prophecy, that we have the fulfillment of prophecy. So therefore the Yom Kippur War, which came quite soon after the Six-Day War, and with the exact opposite of the Six-Day War, the Six-Day War was the highest point, both from a military angle, from an economic angle, from the angle of respect from all the nations of the world, and most of them, we reached a very high point of the return of our people to our homeland, having been given great help from Hashem. And it was also, as a result, we can say, the triggering point of transforming the, I would say, even individual attempts of Teshuvah and the struggling of the nation to overcome the enormous trauma of the Holocaust. So what did it do, the Yom Kippur War, the Six-Day War? It rose to a high level. And straight afterwards, Jews in Israel and outside Israel, they felt that Hashem is with us. Kilui tosh Hashem itamor, v'nachal atzor v'yazor, Hashem is not forsaking His people. And also he's not forsaken his inheritance, which is a reference to Eretz Israel. But what happened afterwards? Although a section of the people started road to Teshuvah, but the majority of the people, they produced what was then termed the James Bond image of the Israeli, you know, the Superman. And people became proud of themselves, and then came with Yom Kippur War the slippery slope of removing, we can say, all the high points that have been reached of the people of Israel, including the army of Israel, including the intelligence service of Israel, including the territories which we possess, and including also the attitude of the Palestinians and the Arabs around, went down and down and down and down, until we reach today one of the lowest levels. You see, when the conference took place yesterday, so, you know, it's been agreed by the President of Israel, and also he thinks that Prime Minister underneath also agrees with it, that, you know, we're going to go back to the pre-1967 border. That means anything that happened in the miracle war of the 6 days is now erased entirely. We hope to do it. It was the people, the state of Israel, that used the army to go and force fellow Jews to go and give up Gush Katif. And now they're preparing the army, and they're asking Yeshiva boys to join in that army, not just to fight the Arabs, to fight those Jews, to fight against those Jews who want to keep different settlements on which they've worked to build up for a number of 40, 50 years at the time they came here. And now they want to give it back to the Palestinians. Well, we've got our peace partner. Who's the peace partner? The one who got his doctorate on so-called historical evidence that denied the existence of the Holocaust. That's our peace partner. So that's how we're going down and down. And educationally, morally, I mean, it's what's going on in this country? What's going on with the education? It goes down and down. There's only one bright spot, and that is the increase of Torah learning and the increase of the Tshuva movement. That has not only retained the level that it had before the Six-Day War, but it's multiplied exceedingly. Let's hope that will save us. In any case, this is the power of Seir. Now, as you'll see, I'm going to this introduction to the next paragraph. In Mr. Meliahu, where he comes out with the comment of that the real significance of the Yom Kippur service is to bribe Satan, to bribe the sorcerer. Now, what does this mean? Other words, the Azazel represents the power of the Satan. Let's try to understand that first. And what is the root of the word Satan? And you know, it's used in the Tanakh to refer to obstacles. And it means we have to approach life not as a straight, smooth path on which we can walk leisurely. No. The life is an obstacle race. You want to understand the true adventure of life is an obstacle race. But if we just think that life is just a smooth path, there will be plenty of obstacles on the way, and the obstacles will just destroy us. Or we destroy ourselves through stagnation. But we should know Hashem gives us in life constant tests. He creates obstacles. This lies at the root of what we sometimes discuss, that we know the world is filled with good and evil. good and evil, both the moral sense, and good and evil also of human beings' experience. All of us experience very happy times and fortunate times. You also experience the opposite, very bad and trouble sometimes. And also we know that life is filled with good deeds in our environment and good words. It's also filled with the opposite. So we're always living in a certain polarity between the powers of good and the powers of evil. And it says in the Chumash, see, I've set before you, called the power of life, the power of death, the power of virtue, and the power of vice. And we have to try to follow the power of virtue. The reason why Hashem has made us in this way is for our own good. Because we know that the world of plants and the world of animals, whatever good and bad they have, whatever positive aspect of beauty they have, and sometimes of ugliness, whatever aspect of health they have, and sometimes of poison, they're all functions. They don't have freedom of choice. But we have freedom of choice, which means we can go and elevate all the difficulties of life, to use them as challenges to do more good. Because if we would just have a motivation to do good and follow virtue, then there'd be no virtue in doing good, because it's just a function, a robot function. Maybe that's why Hashem has created a world of contrast, of good and evil. Because if everything in the world around us would be good, then probably our nature would also be good. But if we're so much influenced by the environment, it's not really our choice. Since all the time we experience good things around us, so we become part of that goodness. We're influenced by everything that surrounds us, and all things that happen around us. And through generations, that would create a robot, but not a creative individual. So the power of creativity is bound up with the power of choice. And that's why all the commentators say, when it said, that's the good inclination, the evil inclination. The evil inclination creates the highest level of using the power of the soul to overcome, and not just to overcome, to suppress, but to sublimate and elevate all material aspects of life to the spiritual and holy and moral purpose. So that's the concept, that life also has in it the satan, which are the obstacles, which create the challenge. And that's why, a walking race is also quite exciting. Who can walk faster? And also a running race is a bit more exciting. Who can run faster? But an obstacle race is the most difficult, and therefore the most challenging, and therefore the most adventurous. And that's why people, generally speaking, at the beginning of their childhood, or at the end of their adolescence, they love to face challenges, because that's where adventure lies. That's where they can, in the best way, develop themselves. This is the sportive and adventurous aspect of human existence. And what does it depend on? On challenges. The Hebrew word for test, what is it?
Nifran.
There's another word. Mifhan is more when you want to find out where someone is holding or where you're holding. But when you speak of tests of life, how do you say that in Hebrew? Nisayon.
Nisayon, menase.
Yeah. And what is what is the connection between Sayon and Nes?
What's nes mean?
Miracle.
So, what is the root of the word nes and the root of the word nisayon in Hebrew? Always go to the roots. And if you really want to understand the deeper Torah approach, we've got to regard almost every word in Hebrew to represent basic concepts and ideas, and every word is based primarily upon a three-letter verb, and that three-letter verb goes back to two major letters. And this is really, gives us a deep analysis into language. If you study works on the structure of languages and the origin of languages, they all go back to this concept of two consonantal signs and words, which are building blocks to develop language. So also in Hebrew we see that all the three-letter verbs go back to two letters, as it also described in the earliest grammatical work, Sefer Yetzirah, which was a Kabbalistic work. So the word Neis Nisayon, it comes from the root, the verbal root, which means to lift up. So we have Norsa with an iron, which means to move. But the word to lift up, Norsa, as the Rosh Bnei Yisrael, lift them up. So the basic concept of lifting up, that means how does a person grow? A person grows through tests. And a mast of a ship is called also a nest, because it's the highest point which shows where the ship is from afar, the mast. So the flag is called a nest also. So therefore the concept of a nest is to demonstrate that all the natural events when we see things happen that are above nature, we begin to recognize there's a power which is above nature, which is the concept of the miracle. So the concept of a nisayon is through tests you become lifted up, through obstacles. It's the only way you can grow, if you're willing to go in for tests. Not tests to find out where you're holding, but tests that increase your ability. You try to go to a bit higher level than where you are now. But if you remain as you are now, you stagnate. You've always got to work your way upwards, in knowledge, in character, and all the challenges of life. That's why Hashem sends us challenges. And we know through challenges a person grows. So this is the concept of the Satan. The Satan creates obstacles in order to create tests. And the sages say, how do they define who is the Satan? Is the Satan like some hidden power of evil? What is
Yetzirah?
Yes, very good. It says in the words of the sages, put it like this. It's true, the Satan is described the book of Eon. And who was Eot? Any of you know? Who was it? The book of the Tanakh, Eot, one of the most deep books of the Tanakh.
John.
Well, they're in the Gemara there are six opinions who he was. But the essence of Eot is a transposition of letters for Yev, the enemy.
Yeah,
the question of Eot, which he deals with, is God an enemy of man? That's how Eeyore felt, until it was shown that God is an Ohev and not an Oyev, which he loves man. But often he brings man through enormous difficulties, and sometimes Eeyore is a mashal for the people of Israel, sometimes he's a mashal for all human beings. They were all put through this situation that Hashem does not make life easy for us. He makes it difficult for us, each one, according to his potential. He makes it difficult. But when he makes it difficult, does it as the greatest friend, because he wants us to grow. It's like Amos says, when they can probably. Many people say, why, if Jews are the chosen people, why do we suffer so much? So Amos says, Rak etchem yadatim mikol mishpachot arav, you're the only nation with whom I established an intimate connection to revealing myself to you, and you turning to me. Only you have I known from all the nations of the world in such a close manner. That's why I made you my firstborn, and that's why I punish you for all your sins. I'm concerned about you. That's why I give you punishment. Like a teacher who's in a class, and some of the students he sees, they don't take up any messages, and he says, and they sleep through the classes and so on. So he sees, those he doesn't bother with. He sees, he don't get nowhere with them. He's tried, he sees, they go on sleeping and sleeping, and they don't take notice, and they don't grow. But he sees someone who's got potential. So there'll be a particular, why weren't you in my class? Why didn't you write down the notes? Why don't you remember what I told you last week? So speak to him. So Hashem says as well, the other nations, he says, you're just, in fact, what does Amos say? He says, you think I don't love and look after the black people, I look after you? It's the most anti-racist expression of the Son of God. They're just not my children. But why do I punish you, don't punish them? Because I know you. We've got a strong relationship, a moral relationship goes back in human history. Avraham Avinu. And I want you, I know you've got the potential as a nation, so therefore I expect more from you. And when we see today, people often speak, you know, the nation of the world, why there's such a double morality? They say all the time, in the anti-Semites, they criticize us, and they say nothing, what's happening elsewhere? I mean, what's happening? It's unbelievable, what's happening in the United Nations. There hasn't been a real condemnation of Syria, who are in cold blood, just eliminating some of their own citizens in the most cruel manner. Yeah, Russia gives them support, and what's going on? The United Nations, they don't care for them. Who they care about? Israelis. Sometimes Palestinian puts out some story which they've framed against Jewish soldiers, and then for that they make a big affair. But there's a double morality. But double morality, it's because we're a different nation. But understand what lies behind it. Hashem expects more from us. And sometimes, since we don't take note of what it says in the prophets, so Hashem goes and puts that special concern he's got for us in the mouths of the nations. They go and tell us what, and they'll say, you Jews, not concerned for others, but they don't care about their own citizens, about other nations. So this is therefore the concept of Eov and Oyev. Hashem does demand a lot, like the same way that Hashem demands much more from Moshe Rabbeinu than demands from the ordinary person. The ordinary person, many of the Jews who were in the desert, and they were permitted to go to Eretz Israel, and Moshe not. He wouldn't allow it. And the greatest saints, they are punished by Hashem if they go wrong. They do something wrong which is small, but for them it's considered a great sin. The Chazal say there's a Talmud Chacham, he's got a spot on his character, he's Chayv Mita, because he's expected to demonstrate a far higher level. So that's the concept of Eov and Oyev. Now let's go back to what you said before correctly, therefore. The Satan is the obstacle, and the Chazal say, Hu Satan, Hu Hamal Hamavet, it's also the angel of death, Hu Yetzirah, that's the evil condition. I would translate to understand this, especially on the way of Rav Dessler, who's interpreting all these matters in the way I think we can most easily understand it. That's the psychological level. That The Yetzirah is what goes on inside the person himself. He's got an inclination in himself for good, inclination for materialism, for self-centeredness, and for power, and for hunger, for sex, with all these things often make him look aside from the moral and spiritual dimension of the Yetzer Hara. And we said this morning, V'chof et Yitzrei Mishtabenach, Yitzrei asks help from Hashem, please help us to direct our evil inclination to become a servant to you. Now, so we have the... Yes. So we have the let's call the Malach HaMavet, which is the awareness of physical death. The awareness of physical death, which brings tumah, is impurity, and impurity means a blockage of the power of the neshama, blocked up. But the neshama should really shine, but taharotar is like soa, should shine like a light of virtue and closest to Hashem to all material aspects. But the awareness that we're going to die, this is what often gives the individual, if not conscious but subconsciously, the feeling, I've only got a chance to enjoy life here and now. I don't know what's going to happen afterwards. Afterwards there'll be nothing. And therefore people cling throughout their life to the physical aspects, because we know they're transient. So that the transient, the Malach HaMavet, gives support for the importance of the self. I've got to do everything on this earth, which is possible, enjoy it as much as possible, in order that I'll enjoy myself. Because when my body goes away, I've got no self left. And therefore, the physical aspects of life, which are indeed limited, and when we see also all the animals and all the plants and so on, they reach their prime and then they go away, and that is inside the person from the moment of birth. The moment of birth, the person starts unconsciously at the beginning, and subconsciously throughout his life. And often even consciously, when he comes near a dangerous situation, he says, well, let me enjoy everything as much as possible, after there'll be nothing. That, so that supports the materialistic aspect. And what's the soton? The soton are all the things that happen in the world around us, which don't really directly have anything to do with me, but they give me the feeling that everything is chance. If I see the world around me, that there are catastrophes that take place, there are volcanic eruptions, and there are earthquakes that go and destroy, and tornadoes destroy a lot of people. All the power of Satan, in other words, all the power of evil, destruction that takes place in the world. So that also gives strength to me to say, look, you can see, there's no such thing as good and bad, it's only thinking makes it so. Some people, so don't go and say that God is only good. So this is the power of Satan. So all these matters we have to work on. And it comes to its high point on Yom Kippur. So we continue this session next year. And now, Mr. Levy will speak on which subject? Yes? Pardon?
What's his name?
And announce it loud.
He's thinking.
Fun?
He's thinking.
He's continuing his speech from last week.
What's the subject?